We're doing a five-part series, Abide, on the book of John. And it's basically an expository series where we'll go verse by verse through the book, chapter by chapter, and really leading us into the lifestyle of worship, that we would be living devoted. And this is where we'll grow in abiding in God and his love. It's such a great book. There's so many wonderful truths that honestly, we aren't going to have a chance to get into everything. I wish we could, but time doesn't always permit that because life keeps going, right? But I do encourage you to read along with the series. Read along in the chapters of John. You can just keep reading through the book. If you finish it, start over. There's always good, deep truths that we can soak in from God and his word. Joel kicked off the series last week where we're focusing on being followers of Jesus, where we have an opportunity to live for God, experience a greater freedom from sin and through obedience. A key point that is from last week for this week comes from 1 John 2, 1 through 2, which I'll read for you guys. It says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Aren't those good words to hear? To know that Jesus is our atoning sacrifice? That word there, atoning sacrifice, is the word more if like from the Greek. It's the word that translates into propitiation. And Jesus is our propitiation. This means that he received God's wrath for our own sin, and he did this fully and completely. He bore the wrath of God for us, fully and completely, so the wrath of God does not fall on us. That's what it means that he's our propitiation. This is the beautiful truth that we'll build off of, this truth of the cross that we'll build off for this week. So before we go any further, let me pray. Lord Jesus, we come here because you spoke. Father God, you spoke at the beginning of creation, and what we now see came into being because of your word. And Lord Jesus, you speak. You spoke when you were here on earth, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you continue to speak, that you reveal the deeper truths of your word as we read the scriptures, as we listen to you in prayer, as we worship you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us this morning. We ask that you would move as only you can. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What I believe God wants to absorb from this passage today, just as we read, is that if we want to abide in Christ, we learn by engaging. If we want to abide in Christ, we learn by engaging. A little known secret of life, if you haven't learned this already, is that when challenges come up, we have a great opportunity to learn a lot. We can believe lies that we hear from others or from our experiences that we tell ourselves, or we can bring those things to God and ask him to bring his truth to help us to see those things clearly and hold on to the real truth from those experiences to bring healing, deepening our dependence on Jesus, and abiding in him. And as I said earlier, John's focus in this book is on the lifestyle of worship, on living devoted. And we'll unpack that a little bit more as we go. So before we go any further, let's go to God's word. In 1 John 2, if you don't have a copy of God's word, there's some free copies out on the info table. Doesn't look exactly like this, but pretty close. Feel free to grab one. You can take it, have a copy of God's word to take it with you at home and read along during the week, but also as we have our services on Sundays. So let's go to 1 John 2, 7 through 27. "Dear friends, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing to yet I am writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the light, the true light, is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother or sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. It's about how we engage with others. It's about how we engage with others. If we want to abide in God, there's so many deep truths. If we walk in the light, we will love our brothers and sisters. If we walk in darkness, we will hate our brothers and sisters. Pretty simple truth, right? John's focus here is on loving one another and being united with one another. An experience I had in high school, I remember a time when I was in the golf team, and one of the other guys on the team just gave me a real hard time. He mocked me, and it just really soaked into my life and my soul for many years, this lie that I'm a complete failure, because that's one of the things he kept on saying, is you're not going to succeed. And so, you know, if you know golf, I was on a par 5. I got a 22 on a hole. It was pretty pathetic. I wasn't the world's best golfer either, anyway. But that statement that he made to me that I learned from him, from that experience, I held on to. It was a lie. It was a lie that held on to my soul for many years. And it wasn't until, honestly, about maybe 7 or 8 years ago that I saw that lie for what it was and how much it was consuming how I live my life, how I love my brothers and sisters. And one of the things we don't always recognize is the lies that we believe from our previous experiences will feed into how we interact with one another and will lead us to the hate and deception, not say necessarily deception, but the lies, believing the deception that we hold on to from our previous experiences. So that kind of affects how we look at our relationships now, how we interact with people now. So it's so critical to be walking in the truth to lead to that healthier interaction with people that you meet and loving them. We often talk about the discipleship pathway, and if you haven't gotten one of these bookmarks, again, go out to the info booth. Please grab one of these if you don't have them. We're wanting to walk through this as a church, as a lifestyle, as a habit of life, as a pattern. And one of those is that we would forgive, one of those actions, ongoing actions, is that we would forgive and apologize to resolve conflict and live at peace. So if you are in a situation with a brother or sister and you haven't resolved something, I encourage you to get it right with them. Make it right with them. Recognize the lies that you're believing. Even acknowledge those. Say, hey, I was believing this lie about myself or about you, and I realize that's not right. Could we make amends? Could we make peace here? But your response may be this. I don't have a beef with another person. I'm at peace with a brother or sister, my brothers and sisters. That may be true, but I want you to continue to still think about others because it's about engaging with others. We may need to consider the robbed and afflicted, the helpless, the stranger, the sick, the homeless. Do we seek to love those in need? Jesus said this, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So will we learn to abide in God and God's love as we engage with others, or will we continue to walk in the lies? Will you learn from those experiences? Now, for me, it's really easy to struggle with guilt here, especially thinking about how I can help others in need, because I don't always see the opportunities, or I don't always step out in faith to love people the way that sometimes God's leading. And other times, I seize on them, and I see that opportunity to love someone And so I'll share in either what I have or my time or a conversation or what have you. But other times, I can really miss those opportunities and look back and say, wow, I really missed that. And this is where we really need to soak in the gospel, where we really need to abide in God's truth, which John actually gets into next. But for now, I want you to see yourself as one who has the opportunity to grow and to learn to love as Jesus calls you to. So see as an ongoing opportunity to look ahead and see, Jesus, how do you want me to step in faith to love someone else? So that leads us to what John says next here in 1 John 2. And one of the practices of the early church is, honestly, they didn't have copies of the Bible like we all do. Like, every one of us could have a copy of the scriptures in our hand. Maybe you have several in your house or maybe on your phone. But in early church, they really only had maybe one copy, and some of it was just from memory. So I'm going to read the next section. I'd just love for you to listen rather than read along here from 1 John 2, 12 through 14. John says this, "I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one." Isn't that good? You have overcome the evil one. "I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Now, it sounds awful repetitive, right? It sounds very repetitive. But if you just look up at this slide on this passage, here's basically just a quick summary. Little children, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. You know the Father. And, you know, if you're young in the faith, if you're getting grounded in the faith, what do we need to hear? We need to hear those truths. We need to know our sins are forgiven, because whenever we're first following Jesus, or maybe even a long time, we can fall back into the lies that we aren't forgiven, that we stand guilty or ashamed. But actually, no, our sins are forgiven. And not only that, but you know the Father, because our hope is in him. Amen? Fathers, the more mature, those ones that have it gone through life, have been through it, right? The parents, if you will. You know him who is from the beginning. You know him who is from the beginning. Again, it's repetitive, but honestly, if we've gone through the seasoning, the experiences of life, that's what we need to hold on to, right? It's so easy to forget that, right? It's so easy to think, oh yeah, it's more important for me to have stature or all this prestige or power, whatever it is. We can get caught up in the world and what the world values. But no, actually, Jesus says that it's more important that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we are known by the Father. And not only that, but we need to know that you know him who is from the beginning. We need to hold on to that and going forward. Whenever we get discouraged after a long life or investing so much time, we can lose hope and realize, what hope do I have? We know him who is from the beginning. That is where our hope is. For the young men, those who are going through the midst of the struggles, the challenges, the people that are going through it, we need to hear, you have overcome the evil one. And not only that, you have overcome the evil one. Isn't that great? That's so awesome to realize, because of what Jesus has done, we have overcome the evil one. It's done in the past. But not only that, but you are strong. And that's as we're growing through the challenges of life, we need to hear that, right? We need that encouragement. You are strong. Not because of what you have to offer, but because of what God is doing through you and working through how he created you. And he uses his word that abides in us. Such good truth, such good news. And you have overcome the evil one. Again, we need to hear that. So if this leads us into remaining in the gospel, that we would have a gospel focus in all of these areas. So we'll go to the next slide here. So again, if you're just getting grounded, these are the gospel truths that that John wants to encourage you with. He wants you to hear that this is true for you. If you've been through it, if you've been through life and been through this and that, those are the truths that we need to hear from the gospel to hold on to tightly. If you're going through it right now, everything's going on around you, everything's going wrong, and you're experiencing the pain and trials of life, these are the truths that we need to hear from God's truth, from the gospel. And honestly, it's a cycle. You know, some of us who may have been on in our years in life, we may think that we're the been through it. But honestly, I know so many times I go back to going through it, right? Stuff comes up at work, stuff comes up at home, stuff comes up just in the neighborhood. Or honestly, sometimes I need to go back to getting grounded because I've forgotten those basic truths that I need to hold on to from God's gospel. So we're all in a process, and it's cyclical, honestly. So where are you? Are you abiding? Are you abiding in the gospel? And the ongoing action, again, from the discipleship pathway, is that we remain in the gospel. We are renewed by the Spirit through Scripture and prayer. These are the things that we can hold on to. So will you learn through his gospel? So let's go on to what John says next. In John, 1 John 2, 15 through 16. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. God loves the world, right? We know that from John 3:16. People that don't know him, that may come to know him, right? Also, John isn't referring here to the world in the sense as in all creation, right? Because he said it was good and very good after he created it. But the world that John speaks of here in 1 John is the same world that James speaks of in James 4:4, the world at enmity or that's opposed to God, his will, and opposed to his church. It is this love of the world that John speaks of, what the church is often referred to as worldliness. So what is this love of the world? There are three ways that we can be enamored by the world. The desires of the flesh, as John says, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. The desires of the flesh, these are materialistic desires, self-centered desires. The desires of the eyes, lust fed by the internet, more and more toys, often a type of greed, and often builds off of the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. One is often caught up with status symbols or being the best, not to glorify God, but to glorify me, right? Love for the world can be summed up as this: self-centered, self-sufficient, self-reliant, selfish. Where being like the world is more important than being like Jesus. Here in Ann Arbor, specifically, those of us who have connection with the university or have graduated or continuing in school here, we can pride ourselves as the leaders and best, right? Leading or doing our best is not inherently wrong. In fact, these are good desires. But when this desire, or any other desire, becomes more important than being like and obeying Jesus, being the leaders and best just won't measure up. 1 John 2:17 says this: the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. The world is passing away along with its desire, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Bottom line, we choose what we will focus our love on. Will we focus it on the world, or will we focus it on God, doing his will? John says that if we do, we will abide forever in his love. That's such good news. The result is that we will live in repentance and daily receive God's grace. So will we learn to yield to our selfish desires or yield to the will of God, to God himself. From 1 John 2, we learn to abide by engaging with truth. That's the last way that John challenges us. And I won't be able to read this whole section. You heard it earlier. Thank you for reflecting on that as it was read. But in that passage, in John 2, 18 through 27, John speaks of the deceivers. They even grew up in the church, he says, and they are now teaching contrary to what has been entrusted to us in the scriptures. Jude 3 says this, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Paul talks about the same type of deception and false teaching in 1 and 2 Timothy. And honestly, throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, is often referred to. Specifically here in John, it's understood that John's speaking to the church in Ephesus by scholars. He's dealing with a specific type of deceiver, the Gnostic, one who claimed that he or she had a gnosis, that the Greek word for knowledge, a secret knowledge, in fact, is what they claimed. It's an ancient false teaching, but one that's honestly not too distant from our experiences today. The bottom line is that they deny the incarnation, basically that Jesus became flesh and blood and took on full humanity. And also they deny, as a result, the resurrection, because if he didn't have flesh and blood, he couldn't be resurrected from the dead. He didn't die, and he wasn't resurrected. And these are our foundations, cornerstones of the Christian faith that John was encouraging them to hold on to. Knowledge of Jesus is our foundation, what he's revealed about himself through all 66 books of the Bible. And this is one of the values of us here at New Life Church, that Scripture is our foundation. In John 2, 24 through 25, he says this, As for you, see what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. Hold on to the truth. I can't tell you how important it is to hold on to what God has revealed in his word, to reflect and meditate on his word. Hold on to it. Don't let go. There's a time as I was a student here at U of M that I encountered a lot of false teaching going to another church, and it actually really affected my perception of God. It affected how I believed who I believed God was. Unfortunately, we find false teachers even more and more in different places we don't always catch. Honestly, it's very subtle. And that's really how the evil one likes to work, and very subtle. A bending of scripture here, a gentle twisting of scripture there. And now, don't get me wrong, we all have our doubts, right? I struggle with doubts from time to time. That's not what John's talking about. He's talking about people that don't hold on to God's word and root their feet in his word, in his truth. So heed his words. Abide in what he has told us in his word in the Bible. Hold fast to Christ. St. Augustine said, For you he became temporal so that you might partake a dear life. So the last question I have before we wrap up is, will we be tricked by deception or learn by engaging with the truth? Another way of saying is, will we learn to abide in Christ? How we engage with others, how we engage with God, with the world, with truth, teaches us to abide in God the Father. And learning to engage in abiding in him helps us grow. So will we be humble? That's my question. Will we be humble before his throne? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you have spoken, that you have revealed your truth. Help us to learn from you. Abiding in you, trusting in you, we look to you and praise you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.